Arms, hallelujah, preach the word of God.
I think that's what you want this morning. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody praise the Lord. God is good. If you can't preach after that, there's something wrong with you. If you do not feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in your life after that, your wood is probably wet. Can you say amen? God is up to something good. God is up to something good. You ever get conflicted when you got to go preach, Pastor Jerry? You ever been conflicted? Conflicted. Yeah, it's when you want to preach one thing, but you need to obey the Lord to preach something else. I hate it when that happens. Dear sister in the sound booth, just disregard everything I told you. We're going to deal with something a little different this evening. This is the year of liberty. Is that the word for the year? This is the year that the Lord is going to do great and mighty things like you have not yet seen. This is the year where God is going to set folks free like never before. Pastor Jerry was swinging them chains around this. He's got them even hid up here. So he can rip them out at a moment's notice and start swinging them, letting them hit the ground. Well, God has a perfect timing for everything. The scripture teaches us very plainly in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is a time for everything. You know, this morning, Pastor, you were teaching about seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to weep. There's a time to rejoice. It's scriptural principles. And I think that's what the Lord has me to minister on tonight. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you this evening to turn to a chapter that you have recently probably preached about. And it's found in the book of Luke. Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I know that many of you are saying, well, that's the Christmas chapter. You would be correct. God's timing is perfect. And I just believe that this is going to be a year of not only liberty, but a year of a culmination of God's timing. He's been preparing you here at Westmoreland for something that is greater than you can imagine. We're not talking about the building, we're talking about the folks. And I just think tonight is even a beautiful picture of where we just all come together and praise Jesus a little bit. May more of that happen in this area for the glory of God. God's up to something. Luke chapter 2, verses, I'm going to read verses 25 through 35. And we just believe God's going to do something. How about that? Scripture says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Everyone say Simeon. "And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Let me just pause. I'm going to read a few more verses. Let me just pause on something for a second. I would like to encourage you to read the Bible. Now stick with me. Don't throw me out of here, okay? Because if you're going to throw me out of here, I'll get my buddy Bob to warm the truck up. It's a wonderful thing to read the Bible through in a year. Let me just say that. Are we all on the same page? But it's not wonderful if you read it through and you don't get nothing out of it. You see, it's one thing to read the book. It's another thing to digest what is inside of it. So just to race through it, to put your name on a list, cannot have as much effect as if you will digest that daily bread that he's trying to give you. Can you? We live in a microwave society now, right? We're going to deal with that a little bit tonight because we're going to have to be in the timing of God to fulfill the perfect will of God. That's how it works. And sometimes we get so caught up on trying to go faster and faster and faster, and we're missing so much stuff. What's your name? Quentin? Quentin put us in that little bluesy slowdown tempo. And with the slowdown tempo, you could feel the presence of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because you can come to church and you know. And you get happy, right? But when you slow that tempo down. You feel something different, right? Because it's slowing down. Feel a difference. It's the same way when you read the Word of God. You can race through it, but you're going to miss some good stuff. There's so much in what I just read you that we could just hang out there all night, but I got 9 more verses to read. What did we read? Man in Jerusalem, name was Simeon. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the birth of the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. 30-some words, and there's power in there. Verse 26, so I want to encourage you, as you read and study Scripture, maybe slow down just a little bit. Digest it a little bit. Think about, meditate on the Scripture, meditate on the Word. You think about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Come on now, that's deep. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's more than just a repetitious pump me up statement. It's a fact. Great is he in me, and greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. The Scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You begin to break it down and think about it for a moment. Okay, one of them I have nothing to do with. One of them I have control over. I've got nothing to do with the blood of the Lamb except receive it. But the word of my testimony, I'm in control of. And I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. It's just, it's like chunky soup. It's in there. And it had been revealed to him. Simeon, verse 26, by the Holy Spirit, everybody say, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This old man, you're not going to die until you see Jesus. Don't worry about it. Verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, folks, you got to understand something. Jesus not even been born yet. The veil has not been rent in two yet. Simeon was ahead of the curve. He had some type of ongoing, close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. He was like a forerunner of things that were to come. He had an awareness of God. He had an awareness of the Spirit of God. He had ears that could hear what the Spirit was saying. He had eyes that could see what was happening in the environment around him, and he was obedient to it. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, that's Mary and Joseph, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. The man's done went to prophesying now. Are you hearing me? and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will also pierce your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, and we ask you to deposit seed in our heart. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to read to you verse 25 one more time. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Everyone say Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Everybody say waiting. Did you get it? Waiting. In fact, tell your neighbor right now, neighbor, sometimes you got to wait for it. Uh-oh. In the story that I've just read you, it's often preached, and most likely at some point it was alluded to here during the Christmas season, the Advent season, even at Westmoreland. But this evening, I'm not going to be talking about Christmas. I'm going to be talking about waiting. Because they that wait upon the Lord, he shall, and they shall mount up with, they're going to run. They go, are you with me this evening? If we were to take this whole story and make a movie out of the birth of Jesus, you know, Simeon would not be a leading character. If you were to have a Christmas program at your church, Simeon wouldn't even probably get a part. We more focused on the shepherds and the wise men and baby Jesus and the angels and the camels and the cute little goats that we got, the 3-year-olds being dressed up like sheep and goats, right? In the Christmas pageant for the church. In fact, probably other than this small little speaking part that we just read about in Luke chapter 2, most likely Simeon wouldn't even show up. If you think about it, through your maturity in Christ and through all your years of church, or if you're new to church, even if you don't even go to church, you know about shepherds and angels and wise men. But you don't know about Simeon. No Christmas carol catches his name. Last I checked, it was "We Three Kings of Orient Are, and Angels We Have Heard on High, and Shepherds Why This Jubilee." Simeon, nowhere to be found. In fact, in all of the scripture, all of the Bible, there are only 10 verses dedicated to Simeon. We could consider Simeon to be a minor character in the workings of scripture. But to consider Simeon to be a minor character would be a major mistake on our part. Because Simeon brings to us a powerful message that is needed in every life of the believer. And I believe the Lord had me change this, because when you're going to enter into a year of liberty, you've got to understand something. It's going to be God's liberty, because the scripture says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And when God begins to set things free, and when God begins to release things, God does it on his time. We have to do our responsibility, and he's willing and able, but he is the one that sets us free. He is the one that pays the price for everything. He is the one who is the healer. He is the one who blesses you going, and he is the blessed that blesses you coming. He is the one that allows you to overcome. He is the one that paid the price. He is the one that is worthy of all glory. Our job is to be focused on him. But sometimes when we get pumped up, we want to just kick our heels up and jet our own way. And sometimes we can run ahead of what God wants to happen in our lives. May we never get ahead of what God wants to accomplish in our lives. In these few verses that I read to you, we meet Simeon. This is about 40 days after the birth of Jesus. If you say, well, how do you know it's 40 days? Well, Scripture is the best commentary on Scripture, because 40 days is later after the birth of Jesus is when Mary and Joseph, good Jews, would be bringing the child to the temple, because at that point, Mary would be considered clean after 40 days, and it took 40 days for her to be justified and be able to re-enter Israelite society. And after 40 days, that is when you bring the male child, according to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, and you bring him to the temple and you dedicate him to God. So in obedience to the word, Mary and Joseph were doing exactly what they were supposed to do on that fateful day. They were bringing baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated by God. During that journey, when they approach the temple, they meet old Simeon. Now, we do not know much about Simeon. There's not much on his resume. He appears for an instant and then he is gone. But there are a few things that we know that we read in verse 25. He is devout. He is just. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got some good news for you tonight. We may not know where Simeon works. We may not know what degrees that he has that are on his wall. We may not know how much income that old Simeon earns. We may not know much about his daily routine, about his family life. We may not know very much about him at all. But there's one thing we do know, and that is he is devout, he is just, and he is filled with the Holy Ghost. And if I can sidestep for just a moment, if that's all that you got on your resume, that you are devout, and that you are just, and that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, I will submit to you tonight, you doing okay. Well, I'm not the brightest tack in the box, but I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Well, I don't make that six-figure income, but I got Jesus on my side. That's okay, because God is on your side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I'd rather him be on my side than my bank be on my side. Hello? The scripture says that Simeon was told by the Spirit of God that he would not die until he had seen the Christ child, the promised Messiah. So from the moment, and we do not know when that promise happened, but from the moment that Simeon is delivered that word, you will see the Christ, and he was old, until the time of the fruition of that word, when Jesus was brought to the temple and he saw him, Simeon was doing one thing. He was waiting. Dear friends, this is, I believe, why the Spirit of God had me change the word for tonight. This is a word that's missing in our spiritual walk with Christ. In the universal church around the world, nobody wants to wait for nothing anymore. We just want it. And see, this is what get churches in problems and Christians up in problems, because if it don't come the way we want it, then we'll just fabricate it. You know, you begin to get that disease. You know the disease? You don't know the disease. Sinatraitis. I'm sorry I lost my voice. I can't sing tonight, but I'll do it my way, right? We don't like the way it is. We just do it our way. I'll just sing the song that I know will move the people. You're getting in the flesh. Well, I know if I preach on this, they'll give a good offering. You moving the people. Hello? Well, I'll just do some things where I may manipulate the things a little bit. And God knows I'm surrendering it to him. I watch this cat on television sell holy water. $37 a bottle. And people buying it left and right. Because they don't want to wait for nothing. They don't want to invest in nothing. They don't want to spend no time praying. They don't want to spend no time reading. They don't want to spend no time in worship. They don't want to spend time investing into the work and the ministry with their time, their talent, and their treasure. They just want it now. It doesn't work that way. Even Jesus had to be in the womb for 9 months. He didn't just pop out. I suggest to you this evening that if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to learn how to wait on God. Tell your neighbor, sometimes you got to wait for it. I know it doesn't settle well with our system because we don't like waiting. The truth be told, we just believe that the things of God are just like on demand. Right? Like, you know, the Staples got the red button, the now button. Huh? Just hit the easy button. That's right. Just hit the easy button. Listen, I want something that I got to invest into because I'll value it when it comes. But we're in a society that everything's just an easy button. Everything with God is not always right now. God doesn't always speak right now. God doesn't always operate in the immediately. We must learn to wait on God because there are times in our life when God wants us to wait. Because He is the one that is sovereign. He is the one that is omnipotent. And many times He will cause a divine delay in our lives between the word and the fruition so the fullness can come. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little deep for you tonight, but that's just hang on. Many times God just like presses the pause button between speaking and showing. Why? Because He's working. He's working on something. He said, okay, what you talking about? Abraham and Sarah had to wait for Isaac. Noah had to wait for the waters to subside before they could depart the ark. Joseph had to wait 22 years for the fulfillment of the prophecy to come where his brothers would bow down to him. He had to wait for 13 years before he went from the terrible pit to the palace. There was a waiting. We always just see the end. My hero of all is Michael Jordan. I love Michael Jordan. He's the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. I don't want to hear nothing about LeBron James. Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player that ever lived. If you don't like it, just pray for me. Are you wrong? When I was in Sacramento, California, we were planting a church. I was teaching the Bible college. And Dr. Sherwood Carthen was one of our students. He was a bishop from the Church of God in Christ. And he would come to the class, and I'm teaching him. I say, Dr. Carthen, you should be teaching me. I shouldn't be teaching you. I was in my 20s. This is the late 90s. And he says, oh, no, I got to stay fresh and sharp as a tack. I'm going to class. I said, well, praise God. We taught him. I was teaching him New Testament survey, and the man could quote the New Testament. At the end of the class, Bishop Carthen came to me and says, man, I want to give you a gift. I said, I don't want no gift. He said, no, you don't understand. You've been depositing in me for 4 months, and I want to give you a gift. Now, during that time, I come to find out that he was the chaplain for the Sacramento Kings. So he had started taking me to do chaplaincy work with him. We were becoming friends. And what you do in the chaplaincy for the NBA, you go into the locker room. And right before the game, after they've warmed up, they come back in and you have about a 5 or 10 minute worship time and prayer. Chris Webber was the worship leader. He brought in his boom box and they'd hit the songs and then we'd have prayer time. Both teams would come, those that would want to come. So I was doing that. So I started, okay, this guy's connected. I started meeting NBA players and they were tall and I was little. Went out on the court one time, was shooting free throws with Shaquille O'Neal. That was David and Goliath. He says, I want to give you a gift. I said, Dr. Carthen, I don't want no gift, man. You've been good to me. We hang out together. We're buddies. I was preaching in his church. You talking about having fun preaching the Church of God in Christ? I was preaching one night at his church, and a sound booth operator got up, just like y'all's booth, started running back and forth across the rails, fell off. Jumped up and said, I'm okay, white boy, preach on. Glorious. I said, I tell you what, just give me a gift card to Outback, I'll go get a steak with my wife. He said, man, that ain't no gift. He said, give me something hard. I said, all right, I want to meet Michael Jordan. He said, no problem. I got a quiver in my liver, buddy. The Bulls came to town to play the Kings. And he picked me up in his Escalade. That's the bishop. with the rims. We rolling on into the Arco Arena in Sacramento. Go in there and I can see the Bulls locker room, the Kings locker room. We go out on the court and there's Michael. He shook my hand. His fingers reached up to my elbow. If you ever wonder why he could do all this, his hand, and I know he's from Carolina. How you doing, Michael? You know, I was feeling Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris come. I've just seen Jesus, you know, come over me, man. I didn't wash that hand for 3 years. I was in awe of what I was experiencing. As time went on with Bishop Carthen, he began to teach me things. He would say, listen, God will give you a word and God will make a way for you, but it's not always going to happen when you think it should happen, how you should think it should happen, and when you should think it happen. He says, but if God gives you a word and you're faithful to God, it'll happen. I had always wanted to beat Michael. Ever since I was a little boy watching him play at University of North Carolina, I loved him. Even though I'm a University of Virginia fan, I'm sorry. But I loved Michael. And it happened one day. It was like a desire in my heart one day to meet Michael. It happened. God's given all of us words. God's given us promises. It'll happen. When he says it's going to happen. How he says it's going to happen. And to the degree he says it's going to happen. Sometimes we got to wait for it. Jesus even had to wait in his earthly ministry. He didn't just come out of the womb. We see him born here. We see him later when he's 12 years old. When do we see him next? When he's 30. And even at that time, is at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee, and his mama gets on him and says, listen, Jesus, take care of this problem. What does he say to mom? He says, mom, back down. My time has not yet come. Even Jesus had to wait. You see, dear friends, why do we have to wait? Because with God, there is often a waiting season where we have some work that God is doing on the in-between of when he speaks something and when he shows something. You see, we wait on God to turn things around. We wait on God to work all things together for our good. We wait on God to take that which was meant for evil and to turn it and to use it for a blessing. We wait for God to answer prayers that we have prayed. We wait on God to bring back prodigal children. We wait on God to restore relationships that are broken. We wait on God to open doors that couldn't be opened before. Why? Because there is a process. When we are waiting, we are revealing the goodness and the glory of God. And we are putting our faith into him. And we're putting our trust into him, and we know that there is no other answer that can take place for moving in our lives other than the working of the Spirit of God. That's why we wait on it, because if we didn't have to wait on anything, we'd never need no faith in our life. If we didn't have to wait on anything, we'd always think that God was just some butler waiting on us, waiting for us to give the command. But I've got news for you. God is sovereign. God is the King of glory. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the only one that is worthy of all praise and honor. He's not our butler. He's not our maid. But he is looking out for the best of us. He's better than a butler. And he's better than a maid. He's the King of glory who created the universe. And he's living by his Spirit on the inside of us. But sometimes we got to wait on him. Why? So that we'll know he's God. We got to know he's God. It's not us. It's him. Anybody here ever had to wait? Just wave at me if you've had to wait sometimes. Oh, I'm preaching to the right people tonight. You see, we do not like to wait. We live in a fast-paced world and we demand that technology make it even faster. They don't even offer dial-up internet anymore. I know some of you in here don't even know what I'm talking about. In the 90s, man, you take that phone line and plug it in. Had that 14.4 modem. And then you went big time when we went 56K. And you hear that phone, ding, ding, ding. And then you heard the words of glory. You've got mail. Woo, I got mail, baby. And Grandma Lulu done sent you a picture. And she sends you the picture on the slow internet and you wait. And the picture's coming. And you know, you go to work for 3 days, come back, and finally the picture's there. And now we get mad at our phones if it spins one time. We're going to throw it against the wall. Hurry up! Anybody hearing me? I know we country folks from Carolina, but we with technology too. And y'all high tech up in here. I got cameras everywhere. Y'all do a phenomenal job. High tech rednecks, baby. We demand that the next generation of Google and Apple be better and faster and faster and faster. Y'all realize we don't even have 8-tracks anymore. You remember your 1974 Barracuda? You out with your girl. You stick that 8-track in there because you wanted some Barry White. I know I'm preaching to some people up in here. And that 8-track had one song on it that you liked. And you had to wait for it to come all the way back around before you could hear it again. You had to wait for it. You see, I think it's everybody's goal in life to avoid the wait. One of my best friends and partners in ministry is my dentist. He's 75 years old. His name is Dr. Thomas D. Kellogg. He lives in Meadville, Pennsylvania. He's my golfing buddy. For you golfers, he is 75 years old. He's a scratch golfer. He is phenomenal. Unbelievable. Ridiculous. Always on my team on the scrambles. Because he plays the senior tees. Not cheating. It's using the rules to your advantage. Dr. Kellogg is a wonderful friend of mine. He's been in practice for 50 years in the same town. He was a dentist in the Vietnam War. And from there, he came on out and been in practice. And we're buddies. And his office is always jam-packed. He's 75 years old, still in full practice. He told me, he says, Greg, I take care of your mouth. Whenever you need, you just call me and come on in. Not too long ago, I had a little pain right there. So I called Dr. Kellogg's office, and his secretary answered. Her name's Amanda. Amanda goes, what's wrong, Pastor Greg? I said, I think I got a pain that might be dental related. Well, come on in. I said, well, are y'all busy? We always busy. Come on in. I said, okay. Got to the office. People everywhere. Magazines. Open the door and come in. Amanda stuck her head out. Pastor Greg, come on in. Dr. Kellogg's waiting on you. All you little people. Are you hearing me? I didn't have to wait for it. We always looking for something in life, or we got somebody that can hook us up. Yeah, well, I got a guy. Right? Everybody's got a guy. Yeah, I know the person. We always looking for that way. Why? Because time is precious. We only have a little bit. And today, unfortunately, we equate waiting to wasting. And that's wrong. Last year I was bow hunting in Virginia. I'm from Virginia originally. I do a lot of bow hunting down in Farmville, Virginia area. Buckingham County, Appomattox County. I was born in Lynchburg. And my cousin and I, he's a pastor. In fact, Pastor Bob knows him. His name is Ricky Hackett. He's a phenomenal bow hunter. We do a lot of bow hunting together, and we've just killed. I showed some guys some pictures of some deer earlier, made them drool a little bit. So we were going bow hunting last year, and what we have to do is leave the little cabin where we stay, and we drive out about 10 miles to the farm we hunt, which all privately manage, food plots, paradise. We like to leave about 2 o'clock, be in the stand by 3. You're there till dark. And we were going out, and there's McDonald's on the left, and Ricky goes, "You know what? I think I want a coffee and a cheeseburger." I said, "Well, go ahead, let's get one." Pulled in through the drive-thru, sitting there. He said, "I'll take a black coffee and a cheeseburger." He said, "Greg, what do you want?" I said, "I'll take a peppermint mocha." He looked at me and goes, "A peppermint mocha?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You didn't spend too much time in California. We don't drink peppermint mochas." He said, "And secondly, it's going to take them like 15 minutes to make your peppermint mocha, and we're going to be late getting to the stand." I said, "You the one that turned in here now. You said, what do you want?" I said, "I want a peppermint mocha." So we get up there to pay the lady, and she goes, "Well, because of your peppermint mocha, you're going to have to wait. So please pull over there, and we'll bring it to you." I told you. Getting fretted, man. Pull over there, and we're waiting. He is sweating bullets. He's got his coffee and his cheeseburger eating. "We're going to miss all the deer, and it's all your fault." I said, "Well, praise God, man of God, you powerful preacher." And he's smaller than I am. "Well, you know, it's just all you, we might as well just go home. Just, we're wasting our time. You know, we got to be in that tree by 3. We're going to be 3:15. Got to be in there and settled." And it's serious, life or death, man, deer hunting. Finally, 20 minutes later, "We're sorry, but the machine was messed up, but we finally got it. Here's your peppermint mocha." He goes, "All right." I said, "Thank you very much." We drive on to the hunting farm. We get out, and of course, we're 30 minutes late, sipping on the peppermint mocha. He goes to his tree. I go to my tree. God is my witness. I climb up the tree into my stand. Turn around to take my pack off. Look around the tree. 9-point buck. Walks right here. Drop him. "Hey, can you come over here? I need some help." "What's going on?" "I just dropped him." "What? It's not possible. We're late. We're all messed up." I said, "Come on, you're done. We're getting this buck. Come on, he's a monster." Comes over. He said, "I just can't believe it." I said, "Well, you can drag him then. You can believe it. Get him out of the woods." He said, "I guess the timing thing was wrong." I said, "No, the timing was right. You were impatient." The next day we go hunting. Same place. Same thing happened. McDonald's. He pulls in. Right on time. He said, "I'll take a black coffee and a cheeseburger." Then he goes, "You know what, scratch at? I'll take a peppermint mocha." He said, "If it was good for you, I'll wait too." You see, we always want it our way. But God wants us to learn how to wait. When you wait, you value something. Because when we wait sometimes and we're waiting in the flesh and we don't like it, we have a tendency for words to come into our environment and our spiritual walk that aren't healthy. They're words like worry. They're words like wonder. Let me tell you something. This is a year of liberty. You don't have to wonder about it. Pastor got a word. This is a year of liberty. You don't have to worry about it. It's the word over the house. What is our job is to wait for God to show up and to show himself mighty and to show himself strong. The problem is we are conditioned by a world that tells us that everything must be right now. I was born in 72, and in 1979, I was 7 years old. My brother was 4 years old, and on Friday night, CBS, 7 o'clock p.m., we were situated in front of the television at 4625 Larkin Street, Norfolk, Virginia. My phone number was 757-856-5994. 7 years old, I remember it all. You know why? Because at 7 o'clock on Friday night, we watched the Dukes of Hazzard. And we're sitting there every Friday night at 7, and this is what we'd hear. Mama in the kitchen, shuffling around, pots banging. Then we'd hear it. Pop, pop, pop. And by the third commercial, 20 minutes later, we had our popcorn. We waited for it. And it was glorious. My son is 12 years old. And if the microwave don't cook it in under 2 minutes, he'll come tell me, Dad, we need a stronger microwave. It's popcorn in a bag. It's got to be faster. You see how we're conditioned? And it's infiltrating the church. It's infiltrating our walk with Christ. It's sometimes we're going to miss the beautiful things by waiting on the Lord, tasting and seeing that he is good. We'll rush through the praise service. We'll rush through the preaching. We'll rush through the prayers. We'll rush through the baptism. We'll rush through the announcement. We'll just rush, rush, rush. Why? We got to go somewhere. No, slow it down a little bit. Taste and see that the Lord is good. If you got to sing that one song 31 minutes, then sing it 31 minutes for his glory. If you get caught up on a message and God is ministering through one point, you're going, man, I got four more to get to. Get to them later. God is ministering by his Spirit. Maybe you're out and you're in a normal life and you're going to Walmart and you bump into somebody and God is speaking through you and you're having an encounter with them and you're looking at your watch going, I gotta go, I gotta go. Where you gotta go? God's using you to do something great and mighty. That's how liberty is gonna come when we get off of our timeline and we get on his timeline. That's how true liberty comes, because if not, it's our liberty. Lord, may it be your liberty. I'm closing the first time. This is why Simeon is so important to us. He teaches us one lesson that we got to learn. If we were to be able to interview Simeon and ask him, Simeon, why are you waiting? His answer would be simple. Because I received a promise. Let's make sure we get this tonight. He's waiting because he believes God is going to do what God said he's going to do. Some of you here tonight, you got children that are lost. But God made you a promise. Don't get fretted. They coming. Some of you have sickness in your body. But God made you a promise. He's Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals your diseases. Sometimes you get a little antsy. Say, oh man, come on God. His timing is perfect. You still standing, ain't you? You still breathing, aren't you? God's at work in and through you to show himself mighty. You never know what God is up to. If you've received a promise from God and it has not happened yet, do not get fretted with God. Be patient. He's at work. And God wants to accomplish something that is great and mighty for his glory. Simeon teaches us, wait. If you think about these different characters that are in this scripture that are so famous to us, you think about the shepherds, the angels, Mary, all this stuff that we know in the Christmas story. There's a big difference between Simeon and the rest of them. You see, it was an angel that came to Zechariah and told him that Elizabeth would become pregnant with the one that would be the forerunner, John the Baptist. An angel. It was an angel that comes to Mary and informs her that she would become pregnant with the Christ. It was an angel that spoke to Joseph in a dream and lets him know that the baby that is in the womb of Mary is a gift of God. It's an angel that speaks to the shepherds on the hillside and says, boys, get to the barn. Something good is going down. It's an angel that later speaks to Joseph and says, get out of Bethlehem. Get to Egypt. It's a star that leads the wise men from the east to the Christ child. It's John the Baptist leaping in the womb of Elizabeth that confirms to Mary that the child she is carrying is special. Everyone who finds out about the goodness of God and what he was unfolding found out through a third party, except Simeon. Why? Because he was just devout and full of the Holy Ghost. Scripture said very clearly that the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you will not die until you see the Christ child. So here's the question for you that I had this evening, helping you launch into 2020. How many external confirmations are we going to need until we begin to take God at his word? How many miracles does God have to perform before we're going to believe him? How many prayers have to be answered? How many bills have to be paid? How much money has to be in the bank? What does God have to do to bring us to the point in our lives where we're just going to say, you know what, Lord? I trust you. What do we got to have happen until we can say, Lord, I trust you? Many years ago, I was in Oklahoma City at a conference. And I went there by myself. And at that time, I was living in Arizona. I was planting a church and in Phoenix. And when I went there, there was a couple thousand people there. And went by myself just to attend the conference. And as I walked in the back of the conference room that one day, a pastor and his wife from Modesto, California came up to me who I knew. Greg, what are you doing here? I said, I guess the same thing you're doing here. I said, I'm attending the conference. Well, we are too. What are you doing for lunch today? I said, I'm going to Taco Bell. Oh, no, you're not. See, because I didn't have a cell phone. It was back in the day, no cell phones. I didn't have an ATM card. I had cash. And I had only brought X amount with me because I budgeted out Taco Bell, McDonald's. You go big time in the evening and go to Arby's. Get that roast beef. I had it all planned out. So I had my airplane ticket already bought. My hotel was taken care of. So I just had my food money. Right? Everything's planned. So there's no ATM card. Go to ATM, get more money. No phones. So I had my money. I said, well, yeah, I'm going to Taco Bell. No, you're not going to Taco Bell. We going to Cattleman's. And you're going with us. And we're going to buy you the biggest steak that's there because we love you. I said, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, now I can double up because they buying this lunch. I can get KFC tomorrow. I go to buffet tomorrow. So we get the Cattleman's. We're sitting there and they said, you get the most expensive steak, that one that's been aging center cut for 40 days. You getting that? I said, man, that thing's expensive. I mean, the lunch was like $30 for that cut of meat. I said, that's expensive. That you getting it. We want love. You want to bless you. I said, well, if you're twisting my arm. We came and we ordered. Got that steak. And when you eat at Cattleman's, everything's a la carte. That means you got to buy the green beans, you got to buy the taters and the tea. I mean, if you look at them right, they may give you silverware and a napkin. So, you know, I got my meal and they got their meal and we're sitting there and we're eating, having a good, wonderful time. I can remember it like this day. I'm sitting in this booth and they're sitting across from me. We're just fellowshipping. How's life going? Da, da, da. And all of a sudden, boom.
Buy the lunch. Buy the lunch.
Are y'all hearing anything? No, what are you doing? I said, no.
Buy the lunch.
I did what you would have done. Get behind me, Satan.
Buy the lunch.
Lord, I will be broke. There's three more days here. I can only steal so many sugar packets and crackers.
Buy the lunch. Trust me. You'll wait, but not long.
Okay. We finished eating. I was beginning to sweat profusely. I had $121 in my wallet. Because I had the 21, and then I had the 100 that was folded up and ironed and hidden. Y'all with me? That thing was crisp. And I'm calculating. Okay, I got $30 steak, $4 green beans, $4 that. I said, okay, that's 38. Drink was $3.41. Oh, God, I got to play a tip too. Oh, gee, what did they get? Oh, Lord, she got prime rib. Oh, Jesus. You know, I'm just having my own conversation with myself. But he was working on me. The waiter came with his little white towel across his little duck suit. Put it on the table. And Pastor Craig went to grab it. And I said, no, I'll be buying that. Young man, you're not buying the lunch. We invited you here. This is an expensive lunch. We're buying it. I said, no, I'm buying it. And for about 30 seconds, it was, I'm buying it. I'm buying it. I'm buying it. I'm buying it. Finally, I said, God told me to buy it. Oh, well, if God told you to buy it, that's a different story. Lean back. Took that wallet out. I leaned back in that booth, opened it. Oh, that's pitiful. But I didn't let them see it was pitiful. I started flicking through them ones. Like I was choosing which Benjamin I wanted to pull out. Oh, no, that's a good one. Knowing the whole time it was going to take everything I had. Pulled out the crisp one, unfolded it, grabbed the rest of the money, looked at the total. I said, oh, goodness. Waiter came back. I threw all the cash down there. I said, brother, God bless you. Keep the change. If I'm going out of here broke, I'm going out broke. God said, trust me. You won't have to wait long. We drove back to that conference center, and I walked in that back door. They went left. I went right. I turned in to go back to where I was seated, and a man I had never seen in my life before walked up to me and says, are you Greg? I said, yes, sir. He says, funny thing happened to me, young man. I don't know you. I mean, I know who you are, but I don't know you. But God spoke to me at lunch. I said, he spoke to you at lunch. I said, me too. Are you broke also? He said, I ain't broke, I'm loaded. He said, and God spoke to me at lunch and told me to give you 10 Benjamins. He says, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. I'll never see you again. Don't send me no thank you card. I'll see you in heaven. I'm just obeying God, young man. God bless you. And he walked away. I've never seen him in my life again. And God said, you didn't have to wait long, did you? I said, no, sir. He said, learn the lesson. It's okay to trust me and to wait. Wait. Simeon. Just, devout, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we're going to have to wait for it. One last time, tell your neighbor tonight, neighbor, sometimes you're going to have to wait for it. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. I want to invite everyone to stand with me. Pastor Ricky, if you'll come. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, I thank you for Westmoreland. What a wonderful spirit in this house. I thank you that today was a day of just a divine connection. Today was a day of just a divine appointment, a divine time of depositing of your word into our hearts. And Lord, we're here to tell you tonight that we're ready to wait for your promise. We're here and we're ready, Father, because we know that you are faithful and that you are true and that you are good. Lord, I ask you tonight that your promises, as you promised, would be yes, and they are amen to the glory of God forever. So, Lord, tonight I thank you that you are working in and through your people.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that lost folks are going to be saved. I thank you that the sick are going to be healed. I thank you that the blind, their eyes are going to be opened, Father. I thank you that the oppressed are going to be set free, Father. I thank you that new things are coming on the horizon of this ministry, and eye has not seen and ear has not heard. It's not even entered into the heart of pastor or the wonderful folks here, Father, at Westmoreland, what you have in store for this place, because this is a place where there is an environment of freedom. This is a place where liberty is going to move freely. And Father, you said where there is freedom and liberty, you'll come and you will show up and you will do great and mighty things, Father. So we just thank you in advance for what you have done, are doing, and what you're going to do. Father, we thank you that this is a house of miracles. We thank you that this is a house of provision. We thank you that this is a house of blessing. Father, we thank you that there are new wells, and Father, there's new rivers that are flowing through here, and that the Spirit of God is just allowed to move freely and to touch people, and folks' lives are changed by your glory forever. And Father, sometimes we might have to wait a day, we might have to wait a week, we might have to wait a month, but we know that if we have a promise from you, it is yes and it is amen, and our job is to wait. Now, it's interesting, if you think about old Simeon, he was waiting, right? He was waiting. He received the promise, and what was he doing? You 100 years old, Simeon. Yep. I'm going to make it one more day because I ain't seen him yet. I received a promise. Well, if you were to interview old Simeon, I have a question for you. Where was Simeon at when he saw Jesus? He was at church. He was in the temple. So if we were to ask old Simeon, Simeon, what were you doing while you were waiting?
Yes, come on.
Don't miss this part. Simeon, what were you doing while you were waiting? Well, I was out complaining. Nope. Well, you know what? I just decided to backslide on the Lord a little bit while I was waiting because it took him too long to fulfill the promise. Well, I was out gossiping because you know what? It just wasn't happening. No, while Simeon was waiting, he was waiting in the temple. He said, while I was waiting, I was worshiping. I was worshiping. I had my eyes on the King. I had my focus on the King of Glory. And while I was waiting, I was worshiping. Folks, there's no better thing than you can do while you waiting on the promise of God as to keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your focus on Jesus, keep your heart in tune to the things of the Spirit of God. Don't become discouraged. Don't become disgruntled. Don't lose faith or lose sight, because He who is promised is faithful and true. And while we're waiting, we're going to be worshiping. While we're waiting, we're going to be worshiping. How many of you here tonight are waiting on something from God? If you're waiting on something from God, come stand with me at this altar tonight. There's a promise that He's given you that has not happened yet.
This is how I fight my battle.
There's something. It could be lost family member. It could be a specific prayer.
This is how I fight.
But you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's okay to wait. It's okay to wait.
This is how I fight my battle.
Hallelujah. And while you're standing in this altar, just raise your hands to the King of Glory tonight. Lord, we are waiting on You tonight. We know that You are faithful and You are true.
This is how I fight.
And tonight we are waiting on You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your promises, because they are yes. And they are amen to the glory of God. So Lord Jesus, tonight I just come alongside and I lay hands on my brothers and my sisters. And I thank You tonight, Father, that while we are waiting, we are worshiping You.
This is how
I thank You that the lost are coming home tonight in Jesus' name. I thank You that the sick are going to be healed tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank You that Your promises are true. Father, I thank You that every prophetic word, every promise is yes and amen. I thank You for a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. Father, I thank You. Your promises are yes and they are amen. We stand in Your presence tonight, Father. We wait on You, Lord Jesus. We wait on You, Lord Jesus. We bless You tonight, Lord. We wait on You. We thank You, Lord Jesus.
I'm surrounded by You.
We bless You tonight, Lord Jesus.
It may look like
Father, I thank You.
Oh, I'm surrounded
for an outpouring of miracles in this house in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank You for blessing my dear sister, Father. I thank You. It's okay to wait. It's okay to wait. We're waiting on You, Lord Jesus. We're waiting on You, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are waiting on You tonight. We're waiting on You because You're faithful and You're true. You're good and Your mercy endures forever. Your promises are yes. Your promises are amen. And tonight, Father, we stand in Your presence and we wait on You, Lord Jesus. We bless You tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank You for meeting every need in this house. We thank You for touching folks, Father, by Your glory and by Your power. We thank You that Your word changes us.
It may look like
Father, we thank You for miracle working power. We thank You for healing in the name and through the blood of Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are our healer. We thank You that deaf ears are open in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You that blind eyes are open in the mighty name of Jesus. We give You glory tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, let us never get the wrong attitude when we're waiting on You. We thank You tonight, Lord Jesus.
This is how we fight.
We receive from You tonight, Lord Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus.
This is how we fight our battles.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
This is how we fight our battles.
Hallelujah.
How we fight our